Let me invite you back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. We've entitled our message, The Transforming Power of Christ. And just with that passage open before us, let's just seek the Lord's face, please, as we come to the preaching of this precious word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank the Lord for even the words of the hymns we've been singing. Oh God, we bless thee for the prospect the child of God has of one day being in glory. We're going home to glory soon to see that city bright. Walk the golden street of heaven, bask in God's own light. Lord, we're conscious tonight some are out of Christ. They're held by many a snare. We cannot leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. Lord, we realize tonight that many a heart is hardened. Many an arm and fist is raised in God's face. And Lord, the question might be asked, why would they not come now? And we know, Lord, of themselves they cannot come. Except thou dost draw them, they'll never come. And so we pray, even as we would come to the closing part of this service, Lord, that thou would work by thy Spirit. Lord, that the effectual call of God might be heard to some soul tonight. They will be able to do nothing but come, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, bring us into this passage. Give us understanding. Help us to rightly divide thy truth. I pray, Lord, to that end, thou would fill us with thy Spirit, anoint us with fresh oil from above, that we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Lord, we pray, thou would work this night. This night, Lord, might be a different night from all other nights. This night, the souls might be able to look back and say, it was then, it was there. The Lord spoke and the Lord saved me. Oh, Father, answer prayer. Abide with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What must it have been like for Peter, James, and John to be with the Savior on that Mount of Transfiguration when his fashion was changed, the fashion of his countenance? And he was seen to speak with Moses and with Elijah of the Old Testament. And the focus, I wonder, did you see it? The focus of their conversation was upon his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, they were speaking about his death, the death that he would die, accomplishing the work of redemption for his people. But it was to become obvious that there was none his equal. For you remember where we read that Peter asked, Lord, our master, should we build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias? None was seen save Jesus only. The other two had departed. They're not his equal. They're godly men of the Old Testament, but they're not the equal with Christ. And I pray tonight that none would be seen save Jesus only. Is it any wonder that the three disciples did not speak of what they had seen or what they had heard that very day? They couldn't speak about it. And what Peter, James, and John were witnessing was a little preview of what heaven will be like. For when we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And child of God, when you get to glory, you'll know Moses. And you'll know Elijah just the same way as you knew your loved ones who were born again of God's Spirit. What a blessed thought and truth that is. But you know, we might also state that the work of the gospel is that which transforms. Christ was transformed here on this mountain, but the work of the gospel is also that which transforms. When God does the work, the life is changed. And it's transformed from inside out. It's not a mere change in the outward facade. God does the work in the heart, and the change is from inside out, and the repentant sinner is never the same again. And the change that is wrought is detailed for us in Romans 12 and verse 2. Listen to this. And be not conformed with this world or to this world. You see, child of God, we're not to be like this world. We're not to be like the ungodly in this world. But rather, listen to the end of the verse. But be ye transformed. And it's the same word as we're reading about in Luke chapter 9. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The same thought is in mind here. We're not no longer to be conformed to the world, trying to imitate the world, trying to be the same as the world. We're to be transformed, changed. And you know, those who profess Christ as Savior, then invariably there will be that change. There will be that change in our character. There will be that change in our appearance. I want to remind you of that. I want to remind parents of that. There will be that change in our appearance. And you will impart that to your children to be different from the world and the ungodly, the same way as the change was seen of the Lord here on the Mount. Is it any wonder that the disciples desired to stay longer? For they said, Master, it's good for us to be here. But you know, when we're on the mountain with God, there must needs be the coming down into the valley again. And when the Lord and his disciples did come down, there was a great crowd to meet them. But there was one man in particular there to meet with Christ. Such was his concern for his only son, that he desired the Lord to do something for him. Indeed, it says there that he cried out. He cried out. And the other occasions that word cried out is used in the Gospels is in the context of a great and a loud cry. The Savior cried on the cross. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here's a father, and he cries out to Christ for his child. I wonder, Father, has the Lord heard your cry concerning that son that's going to hell? I wonder, has he heard the cry of your heart? This man had been to others. He had even been and spoken to the other disciples about his son, but it seemed to no avail. And now he could do no other than come to the Master himself and seek his help. And there was a transformation on the Mount. But you know, there was a transforming work also done at the foot of the Mount. And the very same work could be done in this meeting house tonight if you too, sinner, will meet and will heed the Savior's invitation. The Lord issues the invitation in the words of verse 41. He says, bring thy son hither. That's an invitation. Bring thy son hither. And in answer to that, we are brought to see the transforming power of Christ. I will deal with these verses. But if you want a text, you'll have it in verse 42. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. What a verse. I want you to consider firstly here the danger. Very simple wee thoughts tonight. Just the danger. It's obvious from the narrative of the danger that this man's son was in. We've only got to look at the words of verse 39. It says, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruiseth him hardly, departeth from him. The father expressly details what had happened to his son. And what had happened was that there was a spirit which had taken control of him. Here was a man. We're not told his age. We don't need to be told his age. But he was a man, and the devil had taken possession of him. And if you were to take time to consult the other Gospels which also detail this narrative, you will then get a fuller picture of it. Can I give you a little help in that? Mark, for example, he adds the detail of the Lord asking his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Of a child. You see, the devil's at work even in the children from their earliest days. Parent, you remember that. The devil's about his work, even from the youngest child. Ever since a child, here's a young man who was in great danger. For the Spirit not only took him and caused him to foam at the mouth, not only threw him down, no doubt hurting him, but as Matthew details, it would have thrown him into the fire and would have thrown him into the water as well. And such was the abuse that in pain he immediately cried out. And you can imagine what sort of sight this was to the disciples and to the others who were gathered there. And not least, what hurt it must have caused his father, who had witnessed this sort of convulsion time and time without number for years and end. This young man was in great danger. Danger which we even find hard to fully describe. He was under the control of the devil, and the devil did with him whatsoever he pleased. But you know, not only do we see the danger in a physical harm and connotation in which he was in, but there's a sense in which there's a spiritual danger here. The Lord had offered the invitation to bring his son to him. And then we read in the opening words of verse 42, "And as he was yet a-coming," there is a suggestion. There's an implication here that a decision had been made that he was going to accept this invitation of the Lord. He was going to come to the Savior, but there seemed to be some delay in the coming. He was yet a coming. It gives the idea that there's maybe some dilatory response on his part. There may have been a little holding back. There certainly was a little hesitation. And that, my friend, is one of the greatest dangers that any man or any woman or young person could be in. He who hesitates is lost. You think of Felix that we read about in the latter chapters of the book of Acts. Felix, in hearing the gospel spoken by Paul the prisoner, was moved to the extent that it says he trembled. He heard the preaching of God's servant. He heard the way of salvation. He heard his sin been exposed before him. And such was the power of God upon the preached word that here's a man sitting on his throne, and it says he trembled. He was so near to accepting the Savior that Paul was preaching about. He was so close to the kingdom. But alas, he also says, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hesitated. And the danger of hell fire and of a lost soul was still there. And sadly, it was a reality one day, for he never had a more convenient season to receive Christ than that day. We never read about Felix getting saved. And the silence of God's word has to bring it home to our hearts that there's a man, and he never had a more convenient time. You think of Abner, standing in the very threshold of one of those cities of refuge, the city called Hebron. He's standing in that very place of safety from all his enemies, and yet Joab took him aside in the gates. And he thrust his fear into him that he died. So near safety, so near but still in danger, so near but yet so far. This young man is typical of many even tonight. Maybe you're in this meeting and you know your danger. From the day that you were born, you were under the control of the devil. You're born in sin and shaping in iniquity, just the same as every one of us elsewhere. You have come short of the glory of God. But you know, you've heard of the one who could help you. A godly mother, a godly father, maybe both. By their word and by their example, they have pointed you to the one who's mighty to see you. And I challenge you to say otherwise, but you have on occasions, you've heard the call of Christ to your soul individually. And God is drew very near, and he's spoken to your heart, and you may have decided within your heart, yes, one day I need to get saved, the preacher's right. One day I want to get saved, I want to be made whole. But oh, my friend, there's a great danger. There's a great danger where you're standing tonight, for you're maybe so near getting right with the Lord, so near of entering into the kingdom of heaven, so near to knowing the Master's saving touch upon your soul. But my friend, so near is not near enough. You may be a footstep from the gates of heaven, but tragically delay and go to hell. You see, David could say, there is but a step between me and death. What if death should come before you take that step, humanly speaking? You might have that time lying in your head. You might have said, well, I want to enjoy the world. I want to do this, that, or the other, and then I'll get right with God. And you have that timeline all marked out. What if death should come first? It would be forever too late. So close, so near, but lost in the caverns of the damned. There's danger and death in delay. Didn't we sing it? Didn't we sing it tonight? You cannot afford to delay. It is the most important step you'll ever make in your life. I plead with you, sinner, to hesitate no longer, but come just now. And you come just as you are. You don't dicky up your life first. You just come as you are, as an old, filthy sinner. The danger. But you know, we've got to go on. We've got to see here the devil's actions. The devil, having control of this young man from his childhood, was not ready to give him up so willfully. The longer the old devil has a grip upon you, the longer he wants to hang on to you. And knowing of the battle that was raging at this present time, and knowing of the intention of the Savior upon the condition of this young man, I want you to see his action as a response. Understand that it became a personal action. You see, in the other verses of this passage, we are instructed that a spirit taketh him. He was being tormented by one of the devil's agents or angels. But here a different word is used in verse 42, and it is for the devil himself. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down. The devil came himself and tried his best to stop this young man coming to Christ. He sought to prevent him from coming to the Savior. How? Because we're told that he threw him down. And the young man made those tentative steps along that path to the Lord. The devil came to throw him down to hinder his progress along that road. And you know that has ever been the tactic of the devil. It is to prevent those under his control ever seeking the Lord, ever coming to Christ. In the parable of the sower and the seed, it is spoken of explicitly. For we read there that when the seed fell on the wayside, the birds of the air cometh immediately and devoureth it. What does that mean? Well, you know, the Lord also gave the explanation of that parable. And you listen to the Savior's explanation, not the interpretation of some commentator or some preacher. It's the Lord's interpretation. It's the Lord's explanation. Mark 4 and verse 15 says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The same is found in Luke's account of it, Luke chapter 8, and the words of verse 12, just back a page or so. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The Lord can't make it any more plain. The devil seeks to prevent the gospel message reaching into your heart. He seeks to prevent it taking root, for he knows that it has the power to transform you into being a child of God. You see, men and women, young person, the devil understands the potency of the Word of God. He knows that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He knows the Savior spake the word and the dead were raised to life. The lepers were healed. The blind were made to see. He knows the same Christ can do the same for the poor, blinded, dead sinner, even under the sound of His word tonight. And the devil seeks to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them and be saved. What action the devil is at, or would be like to be at while I preach this night or any other night, is to prevent the gospel message reaching your heart and soul and mind. You might say, well, how'd you do that? That's why in the minds of some of you, you're thinking about the workplace tomorrow. You're thinking about this week. You're maybe thinking what I'm going to do when I get out of here. You're thinking, I want to meet that person. I want to speak to that soul. And there's 100,001 other things that come rushing into your mind. You see, that's the work of the devil, to prevent you from taking heed to the Word of God. Because should you take heed to His message, and should you take heed to the invitation of the Savior, you may be like this young man who's starting to make their way to the Lord. What else about the action of the devil? It was one of pain. The verse says that he threw him down and tear him. There's a rending of him. There's a convulsing. In other words, as much pain as possible was meted out to this young man. It goes to prove, doesn't it, that the devil is not a master who keeps his word and keeps his promises. And the promises usually go along the line, sinner, of consisting of having a good time. Don't you be getting saved tonight, you'll not have a good time. And you want to have a good time with your mates. You want to have a good time living the world and the things of the world. And that's the allurement that he uses for many. Having a good time. My friend, the dazzling lights never tell the whole story. The PR of the world doesn't tell it all, and of the devil. They never show the pain and the hurt that is caused as a result of such action. They never show the cuts and the bruises that appear in the morning, and there's a wondering, where do they come from? They never show the pain and the hurt that is endured in the homes of the children that are abused, of the wives that are beaten, and the wives that are left and made to do without. It doesn't show those things. They never show the heartbroken parents who wait up all night. They can't sleep. And the parent that wonders, where have I gone wrong? And the bringing up of my son or my daughter. Where have I gone wrong? I sent them to the Sabbath school. I brought them to a gospel preaching church. Where have I gone wrong? Oh, the anguish of the soul, of what state they will find their son or daughter in. The preacher has heard of many a godly father and godly mother who brought their family up in the things of God, but tonight finds them heartbroken. Heartbroken over a son or a daughter who's rebelled and rejected Christ, rejected the things of the Lord. Listen, the devil's out to do you harm and to cause you as much pain as he can and to bring you so low until you reach hell itself and the fires which will never be quenched and the words go over your soul, too late, too late. I would that you would not be mistaken as to the actions of the devil. It's plain to see in the words of this passage what he's about. He didn't want this man's son to come to Christ. And thus he tried his best, and he tried all in his power to prevent that happening right up until the very last point in time. And I tell you, he's at the same work just now. People have been spoken to in meetings. People have been under conviction of God, the Holy Spirit, about their sin in meetings. And they knew that they ought to get saved that night. But such was the actions of the devil, such was the attack of the enemy, that they got up and they went out of the meeting yet without Christ, still unsaved. Thank God there have been those who have been drawn back even from a distance to receive Christ as their Savior. Tell me, what's going to be your response tonight? Are you going to be one who's going to let the devil have his way again? Or will you come to the Savior and be saved? What's it going to be? You see, our text tells us of the devil's actions. But you know, I want you to see also, it shows us the deliverance that was wrought. The Lord, having seen what was taking place, having seen the raw work of the devil in action, and of course the Lord knows all things, for He's omniscient. He knew what He was going to find when He went down the mount. He knew all about the son. He knew he had been troubled by the evil spirit from a child. And he was to see the action of the devil right in before his eyes. And you notice what happens? He rebukes the spirit. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. There was a demonstration of the power of Christ in action. And His power was greater than that of the strong man. You see, Satan to Jesus must bow every time. And he's inferior to the power of God. He tried his best to hinder this young man in seeking the Lord and coming to Christ. You know, he tried his best to hinder the Lord going all the way to Calvary. Maybe you never read it like that. We see those chapters prior to the cross. We find the Savior in Gethsemane. And you, if you're a Bible student, and I believe you are, you know the passage. And you know what was to happen. You knew the army of soldiers that came with Judas. And he pointed them out, the one who was to be taken, the one who was to be arrested. And you know the devil was seeking to prevent the Savior going through with the work that the Father had given him to do. And a raging battle could have ensued in Gethsemane, because the disciple of Christ was to take the sword and cut off an ear of the servant. And that could have ensued in the mighty battle taking place there and then, preventing the Lord going to the cross. But the Savior went, turning not to the left hand nor to the right hand. He was to go to the cross. It was ever in His mind. He tried his best to get the Savior to come down from the cross. The taunts of the crowd can be heard. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. Come down from the cross and we will believe Thee. Those were the shouts of devil-inspired men. Why? For the devil was trying to prevent the Lord from finishing the work of redemption right to the very end. But as here, the power of Christ prevailed over the power of the devil. He went through with the death of the cross so that sinners such as us might be saved. He finished the work that the Father had commissioned him to do. The devil's powerful, too powerful for any one of us, but the Lord Jesus Christ is all powerful. And there's nothing which is impossible with God. You listen to the words of 1 John 3 and the words of verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Listen, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That He might destroy the works of the devil. The Lord rebuked Satan. There's no other can do that. And having rebuked the spirit of the devil which resided in this young man, He then was to heal this young man. This only son was cured from his condition. You see what it says? And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child. And we brought out this morning in our early time of prayer, in the words of verse 38, the Father said, "For He is mine only child." It's the same word as begotten, the only begotten of the Father. Christ Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. He's not one of a kind. He's not special in that sense, that like a favorite son, he's the only begotten son. And it's the same word that's used by this father. Master, he's my only son. He's my only child. And the Lord comes and he rebukes the evil spirit and he heals the child from his condition. That condition that he had known all his life. He had heard the words of the Lord. He had felt the touch of the Master and he was made whole. He was brought from a state of sickness into one of being well. A miracle had taken place and it was there for all to see. The people around that day could see what had happened and the change and the transformation that had occurred with the young man. So much so that what do we read? That they were all amazed at the power of Christ. We're all amazed, in the words of verse 43, at the mighty power of God. His deliverance was complete. And to signify that, we read that the Lord delivered the son back to his father. Verse 42 at the end of our text. The father could rejoice as never before, for he had a son back again. He was no longer in the grasp of the devil. He was no longer under a sway and control. He had been delivered. By the way, this is the man. This is the father who had said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's the same man. He believed the Lord could heal and cure his only child, and his faith proved to be well founded. It was in Christ, in the man of God. And what the Lord did for this man's son, he can do for you, loved one. My sinner friend, the Lord can deliver you tonight, just now, from the clutches of the devil. But you know, you must come in repentance and in faith. You must believe, repenting of your sin and turning by faith to the person of Christ, believing that he alone, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory, the only Savior God manifest in the flesh, he alone can save your soul. He alone can cleanse you in his precious blood and deliver you from the chains that bind, that the devil has bound you with for how many years now? Be honest. And Christ can break those chains and he can set the prisoner free. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder, will you take that step of faith? That's the step I'm taking, talking about. I wonder, will you receive Christ as your Savior? He can cancel the power of the devil in your life. You see, he has all authority. All authority. Even over the devil himself, as was manifested at the foot of this mount. My dear friend, he can transform you. And he can make you a new creature. New creature in Christ. I wonder, will you come and know the transforming power of Christ? Listen, this preacher can't transform you. And this church can't transform you, neither denomination or any church for that matter. But the power of Christ can. And I pray you'll come tonight and you'll know his saving power in your life. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. God has spoken to your soul tonight. We're here. You're troubled. Need help. We'll spend time with you. Gladly open the scriptures and point you to the Savior. You know, my friend, you can seek the Lord just where you are. You can call upon him just there in the pew. Earnestness, repentance, and faith. Come and seek the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank the Lord it reveals and manifests before us the transforming power of the Savior. Lord, we rejoice that we read of this young man that thou dost rebuke the spirit. Thou didst heal him. Thou didst deliver him unto his father. Oh God, deliver a son tonight. Deliver a daughter tonight long prayed for. Lord, break the chains that bind. Smash the power of Satan in their life. Oh, Father, we thank the Lord we're coming to Almighty God. Nothing and no one is too hard for thee. We pray, Lord, in the vital closing seconds of this meeting that thou would give that deciding grace. Thou would give the gift of faith that some soul would lay hold upon the offer and the invitation in the gospel tonight. They come to the foot of the old rugged cross, Mount Calvary. They accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. Speak all God when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us with thy blessing now, for we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.